Stupid Ian. Stupid monkey.
Ooh, that monkey is going to pay.
Wow! That was fast.
Who was that number one?
Amazing. Alpha Team was instantaneous.
Nice. Yeah. He was ready.
And Matt Olaf was 0.1 seconds behind. Man, I am disappointed that Sartude is not in this yet.
He's busy checking out pocket watches.
That's true. He's got that fancy new pocket watch coming.
The time is not accurate. That's why it was only $28.
Yeah, he doesn't know it's 9 o'clock until that pocket watch gets to his house. Hey, there he is. we can hope that replay effects will happen in 2021 alpha. I hope that I am in a position where I can actually attend. Hopefully there is a vaccine that remotely works by then.
There will be a vaccine that remotely works.
All right. Well, I want one that works with a fairly high, value.
Yeah, that we can still hope for.
Yeah. If it works at like 10% efficiency, that's not good enough for me.
All right.
You ready to roll?
Sure.
All right. Believers, welcome to the 263rd installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I'm the Woolly One, you can call me Craig. We got KS72, we got Sneaky Beat 15, they're the Ray, they're the Ian. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Alright. This is the week of 1014 through 1021 in the year of our COVID. And your 5-day 4-star career! Of the Titans. On the 9th, we had Taskmaster versus something.
Definitely Captain America.
Captain America, there you go. Did you Taskmaster your way to victory?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. My poorly specced, 5-1-2 still means that I had a 5 in Fiddle Faddle, 1 of Do As Peggy Says, and 2 of Moon Silver Blades, so.
Look at that. Your Taskmaster has more covers than mine.
Are you sure? That doesn't
That's
seem
what
right.
it says.
Yes,
the graphic says I have a 4-1-2.
Ah.
I also fiddle faddle my way to victory.
Nice.
Donkey Teeth, I did remember to put his sword on him, so no. Yeah.
I still don't have that. Still don't have that sword.
I think I only have 1 star on it, but still.
Did you fiddle faddle?
I'm pretty sure I did. I'm pretty sure that was what the win was.
Good deal. On the 14th, was some guy with a sword versus lady with long hair.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you chop her hair down?
I haven't tried yet. Too soon.
All right.
I had already played today, and I like to save my Crash of the Titans for that night when I was doing other things or watching football, and I'm about to go to bed, and I'm tired, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to play Puzzle Quest. Why? And then, boom, I can just do one match and be done with it.
All right.
Yeah, he was an amazing easy fight. You just match some red until he starts doing damage every round, and it's over.
Yeah, I agree. And then coming up number next, Ian, you will not participate in. It is Patsy.
Right. I'm not going to win that one.
It seems unlikely that your one cover of yellow 1-0-0? Patsy will pull
it
off.
Get done?
Probably not.
I think we have totally opposite builds, Greg. You have a 5-4-4, and I have a 3-5-5.
I couldn't even tell you what any of her powers do. There's one that moves things to the bottom.
Yeah, that's a swipey one. That one's good. And its Patsy's
You have to do them back-to-back, right? One moves things to the bottom, and the other one swipes them away?
That sounds right. It's Patsy, and then swipe left.
All right.
Ian knows way more about her powers than the people who have her champed.
Well, I know Craig hasn't played a character that's not one of those three characters that he's been playing for 2 years now in a long time, so
that's clearly. Correct.
Plus, I got that's like my one segment. That's my time to shine, so occasionally I learn people's powers. I got this great infographic that has everything highlighted and detailed for me. Sometimes things stick.
Alright. In your story events, Lost in Time is running. That'll get you Beast. Again, some guy with a sword and some ghost pool shards. Placement is Anti-Venom and Heimdall. Ian, you gotta play tomorrow.
What up?
It's X-Men versus Apocalypse.
Why? Why do you do this to me, I ask?
Because it will get you Polaris covers, and everybody wants those.
No. That is true.
I'll never get there in time. As a matter of fact, my login reward today was a bishop, and that took him to 1-1-1. Just in time for the nerf. I'll play because I've committed to the such things, but I won't like it.
No, sir?
I don't like it.
PvP land class of 2020 is going on. That'll get you a Kamala Khan and a Wolfsbane. Placement is X4s and some strange shards. And then that's going to be followed up by what we think is called Magnetic Mayhem. That'll get you some Gambit and X23. There's very little info on the what's coming up next page anymore.
Weird.
In the news, Ian, we got a new patch release, 2.13.
I noticed that.
Are you sitting down for the clue?
Oh, my goodness. Not only am I sitting down, but I have a brand new setup, and it's fantastic, so I'm super ready.
Nice.
Yeah, my son's doing homeschooling, not homeschooling, but online schooling through his school, and he needed a desk, so the circle of life dictates that I get a fancy new desk, and he gets my old desk.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so I got this dope L-shaped desk now, and I reworked my whole Ian corner of the family room, and it's glorious.
So your corner was recently reworked.
Yes, the recently reworked Ian corner podcasting station / video game zone.
All right, so the clue is dig for victory. And while I don't believe that the Shoveler is a Marvel character.
No, it's Mole Man.
It has to be Mole Man, right?
It's got to be Mole Man.
Nobody else digs.
Yeah.
I'm sure somebody else digs, but right. Man, I hope it's Mole Man.
Mole Man would be awesome.
Mole Man would be awesome. I totally support that. You know what I support even more? Next week, in the mailbag, when I hear the most convoluted explanation of why it's going to be Batroc the Leaper. But until then, Mole Man sounds awesome.
Because, Ian, a dig is something you do during volleyball. And you know who excels at volleyball? Someone who can leap very high to spike the ball. Therefore, Shazam, Batroc the Leaper. Stupid kickboxer. The character's dumb. Anyway, hey, big changes in the UI.
Oh my goodness.
Big changes.
I didn't even know what was happening. I just flailed around until I saw the fight button and just clicked it and hoped for the best.
The long, awaited and asked for, can I save a team button has arrived. And boy, that's pretty nice. I'm still not sold yet on the vertical roster. That's going to take me some getting used to. But, boy, I do like my save team button. That's very much appreciated.
Yeah, I haven't fully tested it. I did some playing, but because I wanted to try out the new Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
That character is awesome, by the way. I don't know what he does, but I know a little menu pops up, and you can choose one of four delicious Tex-Mex-style treats to throw at your enemy. And I was like, that's the best. That's the second best character since Legion.
So you can save up to 6 teams. And then obviously you can't save a team with a loner character, because that would be silly.
What an awesome bug. You'll never guess who I have champed.
I do like the way everything is right there for you. Like, your team ups, boosts, and everything is right on the one screen. Yeah, I think it's a... And I've heard nothing but positive stuff on Reddit and... I don't know that anybody's complained.
Now that I find hard to believe.
I really...
I've heard nothing but positive feedback from the community. Do you realize what you're saying?
I didn't even hear the two people that always complain on our Facebook page. I didn't even see them complain.
Wow. Did you unfollow them accidentally?
he unfriended everybody, and now there's no complaints. Did you see the complaints that are listed in Klingon on the Podomatic site? thanks to the team for this change. I get it. They were prepping us for all these new features with the crazy curtains that I still hated and the black bars down the sides that I still hate. But, I understand the madness. I just, still don't like that part. But team button, very good. What else we got? Friday night, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, if you turn on to the Marvel Twitch site, there will be one celebrity and three nobodies playing Marvel Puzzle Quest. So if you want to tune in and watch
lesser celebrities,
no,
I bet they get paid.
I'm sure they probably are getting paid.
That makes them professionals, which makes them close celebrity adjacent.
All right. You'll see Jason Mewes playing Marvel Puzzle Quest. And some guy named Harris Heller, some guy named Davis from the Warp Zone, and some person who calls themselves Ewok.
And again, I'm finding more and more that they may indeed be celebrities. Like, if you take a trio of grouchy middle-aged white men and give them a podcast and are surprised that they haven't learned that just by existing on the internet, you're called a celebrity these days. I'm really trying to adjust my intake there. So I'd like to know, how does one play Marvel Puzzle Quest competitively? Tell me more. I've been playing for 7 years now. Help.
It just says it's an epic competition featuring four finalists who will duke it out in a special live tournament.
Well, maybe there really is no more details. Watch it. Tell me how it was.
Yeah, I will tune in on Friday night to watch it myself.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, Jason Mewes, and I love Jason Mewes. So, tune in, everybody. Check that out. That's all I got for news. You guys got anything?
No. Oh, probably.
Ray does. He's interesting.
There was something, some local news. Yes, here we go. Some local news. Semi-local news. The Pittsburgh street that swallowed a bus is apparently open again.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, that's
good. Good job, PennDOT?
I guess. That was actually from Samurai, who also said that the Pittsburgh street that swallowed a bus sounds like the worst 70s Disney live-action movie ever made. And, I do have to mention this as well. Perondiac had a local news. Someone in State College, I think this is an opinion, but someone in State College wins the Halloween decorating contest. And I'm going to post the image to Discord. This person put up the Ghostbusters taking down a giant skeleton with strings of light from from their guns to the skeleton. And the skeleton is dressed up like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I need to find out where that is.
Yeah, one of other kind of weird local news. So I think it was Saturday. One of our enforcement people found a car upside down in the middle of a street.
Like you do.
Just laying on its roof.
Yeah.
So apparently somebody had some fun the night before. But they just left it. Just flipped over a car and left it there.
Like in town or?
Yeah.
Huh.
In the borough.
Okay.
I forget which street it was on, but yeah, just a car.
So I've taken some time to enjoy this photo. They did a fantastic job. I like that they included Slimer for no reason. I like that there's a... Is that some sort of evil raccoon on their garage?
Yeah, I don't know what that is exactly.
There's even a little trap there, a ghost trap to catch him once they zap him. I love it. Did you guys get the, you guys being State College, did you get the COVID under control yet?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's been slightly less the past few days.
Oh, to make room for the Indiana game this weekend so that you can get it ramped back up?
The numbers stopped going up, so...
Okay.
I guess that's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Tell me that 3 weeks into football season.
Right.
Yeah. The big question, would be, football game. So how many out of control downtown parties will there be since there's no allowed tailgating on Penn State property? So I assume the downtown area will be awash in, overpopulated parties and alcohol. So
this has to be over in Park Forest, right? The setting heavily suggests that to me.
I'll
creep on these people later. Let's do the show.
All right. Well, that's all we got for news.
Great.
Top three for the top three. Ian, what's your category this week?
Oh, the top, we're going to do fair foods and, carnival eats or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start with me this time. Did I start with me last time? I don't know, but I'm going to say caramel apple because I love a good caramel apple. I especially love it when I can, these days, because I'm old and feeble, I like it in a dish. Normally, I would say food on a stick. Send it my way. But caramel apple, it's hard to navigate, and I don't like things terribly messy. So maybe a caramel apple on a dish, maybe already pre-sliced for me. That's good eating.
Well, see, now pre-sliced, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Because, they can be hard to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. If I could get them in little wedges, that's
living. Oh, see, I'm on board with that. Okay. Otherwise, too hard to eat, too messy.
Now, on the flip side, they're
not like a candy apple, which are really awful.
Their counterpart is the most disgusting treat I've ever had.
Yeah.
Candy apples don't deserve to exist. They are a demon apple. They should be banished to the alternate horrible realm they came from.
How do you feel about those, like, cans of, like, you know, cinnamon spiced apple rings?
What?
Oh, rings? Yeah. Those are good.
I don't know what you're referencing. Are they good?
You've never had an apple ring?
No.
Oh, they used to come on sides of meals at restaurants. I don't think they do that anymore.
Huh.
You know, they were dyed a deep red color and tasted of cinnamon. Anyway. All right, I'm going to go. My number three, you're going to hate all my answers, so it doesn't matter. My number three is soft pretzels.
Sure. Soft pretzels. I love soft pretzels.
Yeah.
I mean, anywhere, those are good. They're fantastic at the carnival, and they're nice. They walk around well. You know, I like mine with mustard, so it's, again, I'd rather be sitting down and not have to navigate a mustardy soft pretzel, but...
Sure. Yeah, I don't know why we were supposed to hate that. That just seems straightforward.
I just figured if for some reason he would claim that that's not fair food.
Yeah, I mean...
It's not exclusively fair food.
Correct. And that wasn't a requirement. So I got you there. Yeah.
All right. So my number three, I think only one other person who is listening right now is going to understand why, but my number three fair food is popcorn balls.
Oh.
Now, you might not think that is a fair food, but I grew up in Marion, Ohio, the home of the popcorn festival. Like, other towns have, like, pumpkin festivals and whatever. Marion is popcorn festival because they were the home of the Wyandotte Popcorn Corporation.
I love a good popcorn ball. They were just... The only time I ever came by them was, was at Halloween. And I'd be like, nah, this is sketchy because it isn't sealed and now I can't eat it.
Right. Every time, the only time I ever had them is when I got them as trick-or-treating. And I was like, really?
Yeah,
really? I agree with you. I don't like them as a trick-or-treat gift. That is not good.
Hmm. All right.
All right.
There you go.
My number two is the deep-fried Oreo. I like a good deep-fried Oreo. I was skeptical of them at first because I assumed I would eat one and then die. But I didn't. They're delicious. They melt in a really good way. And I'm glad someone invented them. Thank you, inventor of deep-fried Oreos.
It's got to be somebody in the South, right?
Oh, no doubt.
All right. My number two is a good old cotton candy.
Oh, yeah.
I love cotton candy.
Cotton candy is awesome.
That's one of my favorite things that is to eat. I know it's just pure sugar.
Yeah.
It's really just feeding your face full of sugar. But boy, that pink cotton candy is really tasty. I also like the blue.
Yeah. Those are the two preferred flavors. I agree.
Yep.
I'll get drawn in by an alternate flavor every now and again. And I somehow, for some reason, regret it.
Yep. Every time.
Yeah.
Correct answer is if you get that bag that's the mixed red and blue. Like, you know, where it's like three bunches of it in a bag.
Absolutely.
And you eat, like, two pink and a blue or two blue and a pink.
Yep.
That's the way to go.
Absolutely. Yep. On my way out of, in the good old pre-COVID days of doing stuff, on my way home from Knoebels, the final stand right as I walk out to get back to my car is kettle corn and cotton candy. I'm like, one of each, please. Let's go. All right, Ray, do you have any non-popcorn fair foods?
Yes. So my number two.
I heard to say kettle corn.
My number two is, however, very specific to a specific fair, but only because I've only seen it in the one place. A chocolate covered slice of cheesecake from the Renaissance Fair.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's the only place I've ever seen it. I'm assuming other fairs could have this, but yeah, you just take a thin, not that thin, it's pretty hefty slice of cheesecake. Dip it in warm chocolate, freeze it, and then hand it to you on a stick. It's walk-in food, and it is, the sugar content. I imagine my sugar content might be higher than your cotton candy sugar content. Just because yours is light and fluffy, this is thick, dense, concentrated sugar. So
sounds good.
It really is.
Yeah. All right, my number one, I'm skeptical on my number one, because it is... It's my personal favorite, but it didn't feel very fair foody to me, and I understand that. And now that I've heard the rest of the list, I don't feel nearly as guilty. But there is a gentleman who has a stand here at the Lycoming County Fair, and he makes stuffed, deep-fried hamburgers, or burgers. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. He, stuffs something, whatever you want. I usually get the blue cheese, but, you know, he has lots of choices to stuff in between the patty, shapes the patty, grills it to sear it, and sears it off to seal it shut, and then deep fries it. Oh, magnificent to melt whatever's in the center. Puts it on. It takes, you know, like almost like a full 4 minutes before it's ready, and it's hard to wait, but glorious. That man is, he knows how to deep fry a burger.
All right, my number one, which may cause resistance here, but to me, the best thing about going to such a fair is they always seem to have the most incredible fresh cut French fries.
Okay. They do. I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but for some reason, the fresh cut potatoes at a fair seem to taste better than if I do them at home, and they're delicious.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. Craig's a French fry enthusiast, so I totally...
That is true.
I feel that.
No, I'm certainly not arguing against it, and I remember getting French fries at a fair, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're just always incredibly good. I don't know.
So the very first thing I thought of was what made my number one on the list. I have only eaten it at fair. It is traditional fair food. Funnel cake.
Sure.
I do classic. Like funnel cake.
Funnel cake is good. I find, again, I don't know. I don't like messy, and I find them to be messy.
Yeah. Well, it's that you know, powdered sugar gets everywhere.
Yeah. If I could fork and knife a funnel cake, I think I'd like them more.
Sure.
But yeah, funnel cake in both concept and reality is dope.
I really want to know what that thing is that AP Christ posted in Discord.
It's deep like fried cheesecake.
I just have swirling boxes.
Cheesecake some covered sort of cheesecake. In like was, caramel yeah. and
oh. I don't know what all. It looks like it was just a cheesecake that was dredged in some sort of yummy dredge and then deep fried.
Oh man, that looks good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there are others. Oddities at fairs that I've never got to try that could make the list and could not. And I do like food on a stick. I do like when I used to occasionally attend the Arts Fest in State College. They had most options on a stick. Strawberries on a stick. Steak on a stick.
On a steak?
Yeah. Yeah. Except for that. What is up with that? I love ventriloquists and I love comedians and I hate Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
That's fair. He was amusing the first half hour I witnessed, and then it went downhill.
Man, that is two great tastes that don't go great together.
What's he got? He's got the jalapeno, the old guy, and the terrorist, right? That's his shtick?
Yeah.
He's got more now, but...
I'm sure he's got lots of puppets, but he's got jalapeno on a stick, he's got Walter, and he's got turban-wearing skeleton. Hmm.
I mean, he's got to do something to compete with Carrot Top in Vegas.
Oh, man, I wish I had seen him. Now, that I regret.
I still do not regret that in any way.
How do you not want to see Carrot Top?
I don't ever want to see Carrot Top.
No, wait, he's gone beyond ironic and come back around to like he's like a, he's beyond, he's not even a caricature of himself. He's like something else. He's his own entity that needs to be experienced.
I'm with Greg on this one. I don't desire to see him in any way.
Man.
No, thank you.
If I ever go back to Vegas and he's still alive, I'm going to go see Carrot Top. I promise you that.
He's
everybody.
Never going to die, dude. He's going to live forever. He's going to be the next Wade Newton.
I know. Again, I didn't know I'd ever go back to Vegas. I don't want to assume that I will or assume that I won't, but I will see Carrot Top.
I don't know. I hear on good authority that you're not allowed to go back for like another like 15 years.
Oh, crap.
Because you have to wait until your kid is well out of your house before you're ever allowed to go to somewhere that is adult only.
Oh, I don't know. We go to Replay FX once a year.
That's not adult only.
No, but it's just us. It's just the adults. I don't bring... We gotta milk that while we can. Soon enough, he's going to be old enough to want to come to that with me. I got one, maybe 2 years of that left. Because then he'll be old enough that I'll actually want to share it with him. I'll be like, yeah.
But you're going to be carried around a step stool all day long.
Oh, no, that's why I'm not ready yet. But, you know... Yeah. 8 to 10, I'll be like, it's pinball time, buddy. It's time to start your journey into manhood.
That's true. You got to learn how to play some pinball and some karate jam.
Oh, full point.
Good times.
Yeah.
What is that segment called?
Top three. Three winners from three losers.
Facts and drive then. Ian, what's the trivia?
Oh, my goodness. So, it turns out, much to my own surprise, last week I asked you about the chariot-pulling goats that help Thor get around. And they are Teeth Grinder and Teeth Gnasher, or by popular demand, they're Tangrisnir and Tan Yoster, I think. Close. Tan Yoster. Gnasher, Teeth Grind, you're a Yoster. Call me a Yoster. This week, so over the anniversary, the event that everybody wanted to have was Stranger Sights. And one of the things you go and collect is the Book of the Vishanti. How many members are there of the Vishanti, and who are they?
Ooh. Oh, so this is slightly related.
It better be, dude.
No, it kind of is. So I, you know, we are, you know, trying to clean up some stuff around the house. I had a bunch of things on VHS that we wanted to keep. So I got one of those, you know, converter things to plug into my PC to you know, take the video from a VCR.
Yes.
And save it, right? One of the tapes I found is the original Doctor Strange movie. So I rewatched that the other day.
And?
Boy, it's just as terrible now as it was back then.
So in a way, it holds up?
Yeah, so it holds up. But, yeah, it's it was something. I don't really remember who plays Doctor Strange. I think the old doctor might have been Lee Van Cleef or somebody. I don't know. But...
That would be a surprise, but...
I'm sure somebody will look it up and post it on the Discord. But Doctor Strange, it had to be from 80-something?
Oh, sure. Yeah. What was that? See, you threw me off. I had something, and now it's gone.
name the Vishanti. How many Vishanti
are
there?
No, we asked that already. That's the segment that lives in this segment forever. If someone okay. reminds me what I asked, I will tell you the answer next week.
All right. Yes, Peter Hooten was Doctor Strange. Thanks, Samurai. All right, Ray, what's in the mailbag?
Well, we did not have an empty mailbag this week, let me tell you. I think everybody decided to comment. So let's start off with T. Deja Author says, so the devs are just going to make up characters to avoid giving us what we really want. Forget
oh, no.
that. Give me Batroc.
Man.
Love it.
Meanwhile, over on the Reddit, Groose says, my guess for Thor's goats, their names are Natalie and Portman.
Oh. Funny and an unnecessarily low blow, but still a little funny.
D-Wing's wall of text. All right, he's got a lot of catching up to do. He said he's got a lot. He's been doing a lot to get caught up on the episodes. He's never been this far behind, and it's not a good feeling. So he had a whole bunch. We're going to speed run through them. 259, episode 259. He says, Regis was exhausting. Ferguson is absolutely underrated. And Ian's insect encounter was a highlight. Man, that's a callback right there. I remember that. Episode 260, was not ready for a Ted Cruz shot, though in retrospect, I should always be ready for a Ted Cruz shot. I love hats. Craig's number one was appropriately indefensible. And between Craig and Ian, they have a total grasp on Legion's Red. Episode 261, listening to the show live is weird, even for the only the half hour that I was on Discord. Not saying worse, just weird. Disappointed that Craig didn't start singing Cool Rider from Grease 2 when Ian called out the new character Pool Rider.
You know, I think I've only ever seen Grease 2, like, once or twice. I don't know this. Like, you give me a song from Grease 1, I'm all over it, but Grease 2.
That's still two more times than I've ever seen Grease 2.
Yeah, it's boy, it's real bad.
That's still two more times than I've ever seen Grease.
That's a shame.
No, it's really not. And finally, episode 262, let's do this. Flo from Progressive doesn't say bundle as much in a month as Ian and Craig crammed into the pre-show nonsense last week. He also says, Sermon on the Mount? Good Lord, Craig. Craig continues to find new ways to be the worst. Eloi, Eloi, or my God, why have thou forsaken me, is one of the seven statements made by Christ while hanging on the cross, not the Sermon on the Mount. It's so wrong, undercuts the lack of him making the reference in the first place.
Hey, man, it's I don't know that much about Jeebus, man. Like, that is not my jam.
Oh, that was some quality outrage.
Yeah. Ray studied the Bible. He should have corrected me on the spot.
You were talking about some guy named Eli. I had no idea what was going on. Perron Diac did say that he was going to hit Craig for the Sermon on the Mount thing, but you already nailed it. The Sermon on the Mount was a beatitude. So, you know, you got to get that right, I guess. I don't know. Tad Prime said, there shall be commentary for next week, and you are right, sir. He says, I've gotten to see Bill Mumy perform live a couple times. He's very entertaining. His albums are pretty good, and while he has a couple really powerful songs, amusingly, his most famous musical work is a song that he did as part of the duo Barnes and Barnes, Fishheads.
Oh.
And if you're thinking of Fishheads, Roly Poly Fishheads, that is the song he's referencing.
Good, that's what I was thinking.
So there you go.
What a great Billy Mumy endorsement. I've heard his music, and he's okay. He's not just good, he's pretty good. Pretty good.
And it's still Mumy.
Nope.
Jeff Duggan. Whatever.
Sermon on the Mount.
All right, so it's apparently, I don't know, Matthew and Mark or something. Who knows?
On to Jeff Duggan's comments.
Hey-o.
You have left out what are, in my opinion, two of the best on-screen portrayals of the devil. He says his list, number three, Ray Walston in Damn Yankees, which is a musical version of the Faust story in a baseball setting. That sounds horrible. Number two is Pacino in The Devil's Advocate. So, all right, he's back on board. And his number one is John Glover in the short-lived TV series Brimstone. Had 13 episodes, has never gone to DVD or streaming release, or otherwise he would say to check it out.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
And finally, from Perron Diac, top three portrayals of the devil, Legend, Devil's Advocate, and Constantine.
All that is correct.
Constantine.
It's definitely Constantine movie. In the movie.
Yeah. I understand they get it wrong. They get it wrong in the TV show, too.
So, Sermon on the Mount, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He also commented on how there was no comments last week. I watched the debate and forgot to post a comment. I picked wrong, obviously.
Hey, to speak about the devil, though, real quick, the new Marvel show premieres on the 16th on Hulu. If you're ever a fan of Damon Hellstrom, there's a Hellstrom show that starts on Friday.
Does not ring a bell, but I believe you. What channel?
Hulu.
Oh, I have that. Hulu. I watch it.
All right. Cool. That was the last comment. So the mailbag is once again empty. Thanks, everyone. And thanks, Lumpy.
Thanks, Willie. All right, then. Once again, I am Hans.
Mid-yawn. And I am Franz.
And we just want to pop.
You
There was no claps.
Oh, man, I heard your clap. And I know I heard my clap, so we got at least half of it. All right, so this week, my source material is semi-reliable. What I have heard, I got no 3 stars to tell you about because, you know, I don't do the work. Famed co-producer UNC Samurai does all the hard work. And there was no work to be had. So he went through his archives of, you know, generally good ideas and things written down and lots of experience in the game and tells me that it's very possibly MODOK, Talos, Wolfsbane, and X-23 playing this week, with the possibility that Negasonic, maybe? Or Vulture, Peggy, Kingpin, Gamora, and main event. We don't know. But I'm going to tell you about the people who I have pictured here and how you'll get to enjoy them. So if MODOK is in fact boosted, his attack tiles and the damage that come out of his afterburners is going to be boosted. And then every level of hammer for every nail, chisel, needle, head laser, that all does extra damage or extra attack tile. Talos, the Talosian, he brings very little to the table and he gets some extra health. None of his powers will be affected by being boosted.
Does Talos bring all the nothing to the yard?
He does. Darn right. It's better than not a lot of people's. But let's see what Wolfsbane's up to.
Everything.
I've been killed by her once or twice.
Yeah.
She does her rending. Does each separate attack does separate amounts of boosted damage. Her red does some increased damage and puts out some strike tiles. And then her one woman wolf pack does increased amounts of damage. Ooh, X-23. There's a character that has been around long enough for me to use. Holding back, that's the green. It does some good damage and makes strike tiles. Savage Healing is boosted, and that purple that involves trap tiles and strike tiles and lots of damage if you can match them in an appropriate sequence. So yeah, those are four characters that are almost certainly boosted. Let's see what sort of wisdom Samurai shares this week. It appears to be a lot of disappointment, and what appears to be a recipe for chili cheese bacon meatloaf. I mean, I really like all the elements in the name, so you've won me over already. At risk of going into too many details, I can either... Well, this infographic is already in the Discord. I feel like it gets posted elsewhere, and...
It does. It gets posted on the episode's webpage. So if you want to look up episode 263, I think it is.
Right.
It'll be there.
Right. So yeah, it's a meatloaf, and you bake it at 400 degrees for 60 minutes. It's got delicious ingredients in said meatloaf. I can't say that this isn't going to happen. I feel like this could be in my future. I feel like my family wouldn't enjoy it, and I'm not trying to eat a whole meatloaf on my own. So we'll see. But anyway, that's who is almost certainly boosted. Please enjoy the X-Men versus Apocalypse event this week, and we'll get you some more boosted characters next week. What's up?
So what if in spirit of fair food, if you sliced it and then deep fried it?
Oh, I mean, it's already rocking the chili cheese and bacon. Oh, deep fried chili cheese bacon meatloaf? Yeah, what about a deep fried chili cheese and bacon meatloaf sandwich?
Ooh.
And I enjoy meatloaf cold. A cold meatloaf sandwich, heavily salted? Mm-hmm. Man, you're a culinary genius, Craig. Oh, man. All right. Listen to me now and believe me later. That's who is almost certainly boosted this week. Thanks, as always, to Mystify.
Mystify. Because it's a mystery who's boosted. let's head over to team-up time.
Synergy segment featuring Ray.
Alrighty, so as I previously said, this team up I got just this week from D-Wing, so hey, thanks D-Wing. And I got the description for it as well. He wrote up a little description. This is a fairly easy way to build characters. They're all 5-3-5, so just put your characters at 5-3-5 and you should be good. This team up time, or team up segment, or synergy time, anyway, I enjoyed that. Start out with... somebody I've never used in a team-up, Prowler, add a dash of Blonde Widow, and then the meat of the dish, Sabretooth. So, you start off, Victor's Black...
You've won me over already, tell me more.
Victor's Black throws out some puny strike tiles. Prowler immediately will fortify them. Match them when they're fortified. You not only take them over, but it will activate Sabretooth's You Should Have Run and destroy all the tiles around it. And do some damage. So you get the strike tile, you get the strike tile stronger, and you get to do damage while doing this. All well and good, but what is Blondie doing? So you save Yellow. Not for the burst health, but to make Sabretooth's Red cost 3 AP to fire off as long as her tiles are on board. She puts out a 4-turn countdown, which makes allies' powers cost 3 less. So you can fire off Sabretooth's multi-attack for 3 red AP.
Multi-pass.
Sorry. you stunned me with that.
clearly.
Speaking of which, you can also stun and hurt with Prowler's Blue if you want. And both Prowler and Black Widow can go invisible. So you can have Sabretooth out there doing all the damage that you want. Sub note, I actually have a 4-star Tinkerer support attached to my Prowler, so he gets to do some additional things to help out, so your mileage may vary. But I think even if you don't have, you know, the supports to go with him, that is a very interesting combination, an interesting team. Couple people invisible, Sabretooth out there just wrecking town with 3 red. Yeah. Pretty strong, in my opinion. I'll have to try it out. So there you go. That's your team up this week. Thanks, as always, to Unify.
Unify.
Unify. All right, let's go to OG and open up some tokens.
I was also stunned by that, in fairness to you, Ray. Like, I didn't have to talk, so it didn't affect me, but I took a deep dive. I was thinking about that little dance that his neighbor does after he tries to rob him, and he yanks the gun out of his hand and points it on him, and he just shuffles away. I was thinking about when the people come to kidnap him, and they kidnap his neighbor, and again, he's like, no, I am a meat popsicle. He goes to his neighbor's house, Corbin Downs, smoke you! Wrong answer, dude.
It's a good movie. It's well underrated.
It was. When I went to go see it the first time, my expectations were way misplaced and way too high, and I didn't understand what it was, and I was like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. But that happened for lots of movies when I was younger. I had really weird, like, I don't know, I think I was an emo hipster before emo hipsters were a thing. And because I felt the same way when I first saw From Dusk Till Dawn. I was confused. I didn't understand what was happening. Like, it started out as a Quentin Tarantino movie, and then all of a sudden vampires. And I was like, what's happening? And where am I? These movies are terrible. But yeah, Fifth Element, superb. Absolutely superb. One of Gary Oldman's finest roles. All of Gary Oldman's roles are some of his best. But this one was moi, magnifique.
I got five, so I don't know who's going, but...
Oh, it's me. I got one token like I do every week. Gonna go with a classic eye poke. I don't know what four stars I have in mind, but I'm gonna wish for Karnak. Oh, it's five stars. Ooh. Oh, it's Heimdall.
Ooh.
Bifrost Bridge.
Well, Ian, you are now officially ahead of us, unless Craig had got a cover.
No Heimdalls?
I think I have a Heimdall. I think I'm dismissing the new... Ghost Pool.
Oh, you got one last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right, am I going next?
Please do.
I don't know. I got six.
All right, you got more, so I'm going next. My first one is a four-star Miles Morales. I might actually...
Hey, you should have got a bunch of shards for him today.
I
forgot about that until right now. For celebrating Hispanic awareness, I think.
Heritage, I think, but...
All right.
I do like that you called it awareness.
Everything seems to be an awareness day and awareness month. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, Ian. The other day I was stunned when we issued a proclamation about pronoun day. And like, I just couldn't, like then my brain rebooted.
After that's fine. I'm going to start replacing that for everything. New York's famous gay awareness parade.
My second four-star is Bobby, Cold as Ice, Iceman.
Mm, classic.
Number three is another four-star for Medusa, Hair Metal. And this is actually going to be my last one. I'll tell you why in a second. It is another four-star Nightcrawler, Everywhere at Once. And I'm going to stop there because I just got 500 shards for my Silver Surfer, which will allow me to champ him. And that is way more exciting for me. So,
yeah, congratulations.
I finally get a champed Silver Surfer. I mean, wasn't he like one of the, if not the original five star?
He was the original.
Yeah, he was the original.
He's the five star OG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Recently reworked, I think.
Of course.
Well, I mean, ever. Yeah. I think like he was the five star and then the power creep hit him hard.
Yeah.
And they were like, we should probably give Surfer a little more love.
So he is now a level 450. No saved covers. Like, I just couldn't get... That was my 13th cover.
That's way more than I got for him. All right. My first one, it's a four-star. It is Lockjaw. Number two, Pokemon Lips. It is the Talosian. I hear he might be boosted.
Very likely.
I hear it doesn't do anything for him, but...
The Totally Awesome Cho. How about up on the top of the head? That gets me a Rai Will I Ams. Eye Poke. That gets me an Emma Frost. Boy, this is diminishing quickly. How about on the edge where his finger are? That gets me a Cherry Bomb. Well, nothing exciting there.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to poach the only five star.
Say it, you ruined it for everybody.
If I could give it back, trade you, I would. Not that I don't want him doll, but I mean, next year, when we're celebrating the 8th anniversary of Puzzle Quest, my Heimdall's still going to be at a 100. He might be at a 010 by then. So I don't want to say never going to get there, but...
Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. Yeah.
Thanks, this guy.
This guy. Sorry, my brain shut down there for a minute. I don't know what was going on. That's all I got, I think. Ian, what's on the podcast network?
The podcast network, also known as the Soon to Be Named Network, available at soontobenamednetwork.com, is a podcasting network which includes us and I believe several other excellent shows. You can find all of them at soontobenamednetwork.com. We keep a complete archive of all current and past shows on the network.
Ray, my surfer is a 112.
Oh, still wow.
To this day. Huh? I never get silver surfing.
Yeah, that actually took me to 36 champed 5 stars out of the 49 possible 5 stars.
Wow, that's like 30 some more than I have. Anything else for the good of the order?
Apparently, probably next summer, Skittle Daddy is going to let us know when he's coming down from Minnesota to go to Knoebels. So me and Matt Olaf and Skittle Daddy are going to hit up some Knoebels if anybody else wants to come and want to enjoy the best free amusement park in Pennsylvania.
When suddenly, last summer.
That's a good tune.
I've not heard that for a really long time. Huh. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here this week. PuzzleWarriors3.com. Comments, suggestions, shoot them Ray's way. We'll try and get what we can on the show. You can click on our Amazon banner and buy some stuff, like a sweet, sweet pocket watch. And right. That would make us happy. Might make you happy.
It could be. Is your trombone all dried out? Do you need some trombone lube? That's the place to get it, through that app.
I don't know. My trombone sometimes is a little rusty. Well. Oh, so that's all we got this week. I'm going to leave it at that.
Worst co-host ever.
Please watch Jason Mewes Friday night, 7 o'clock Eastern on Twitch. Goodbye. Remember, kids, do you believe in magic in a young girl's heart?
Nice.
The music can free her whenever it starts, and it's magic.
We've already been sued for copyright infringement once. Why don't you know when to stop?
I don't know, man.
Why? bye, friends.
I think that was still under 30 seconds. I think it was still okay.
Yeah, you're still okay. Good enough. Yeah.